The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
Top of the second hour, National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. Anywhere else you find the program, I'm Peter Serafin, your Thursday host here on the show. We're starting hour two, so we got an hour left. And I want a couple of things that have been said in the little chat room. One of the chatters pointed out that the U.S. Army is older than the country itself. And I would like to tell you, so is the Navy and the Marine Corps. They were both formed, or all three formed, in 1775. The Army was the first in June. I believe the Marine Corps and Navy both formed in August, if memory serves me correctly. There's a little argument going on between some people in the video live stream about Trump's war crimes, and I asked what war crimes. He was the first president in a really long time to not get us involved in any other wars, and they point out the airstrikes in 2019. Okay. But that was a war that was already going on. I'm not sure that's a war crime. I mean, yeah, civilians died, but civilians die in war. I don't think he was targeting civilians, which would be a war crime. I don't know. Trump was the most anti-war president we've had in a really long time. And, I mean, Obama was Mr. Drone King, droning everybody and their brother. And my personal opinion of it is none of these are wars. None of these should be happening. The only way a war happens is through a declaration of war via Congress. So personally, I think any president who does anything militarily without the approval of Congress, that's pretty much a war crime to me. So sort of kind of agree with you. This is a live call-in show, so if you want to get those comments and questions and get your voice on the air worldwide through the KU satellite radio band and through multiple internet platforms and radio stations, feel free to call in 512-248-8252, toll free 800-313-9443. I had promised you we'd be starting this second hour with Corey Haig from the Liberty Uncensored newspaper, and he has not yet joined us. And I didn't think to check my email. Maybe he canceled on me and I didn't notice. Let me do that real quick. Talk amongst yourselves. Do. Nope, nothing from him. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just running late. Maybe he'll be here in a minute. Maybe I did something wrong. Who knows? So, we've talked about Trump versus Hillary and the so-called process crimes and the bias of the Justice Department and the FBI. Started out talking about Flag Day. I'm a constitutionalist, so the things that get under my skin are things that clearly violate the U.S. Constitution. And right now, there are Democrats pushing for bills to become law to regulate the Supreme Court. And I think that is a clear violation of the separation of powers. That Congress has the authority to set up the courts, establish new courts. They don't have the authority to regulate the courts. And I think that's pretty clear in the Constitution. And by trying to push this, I just don't like it. Big government is bad. Big government is always bad, no matter what form of big government it is. And having a big government that is clearly trying to control one of the checks against big government, that should be a big red flag to all of us. And Key Lime Platypus. So it's only war crime if you start the war. No, it's not only war crime if you start the war, but I think starting a war is probably the biggest and worst of the possible war crimes. It's kind of what I was getting at there. Yeah. All right. Squirrel, you know, catch my eye, change my thoughts. I kind of stop looking at the chat while I'm doing this because then I get sidetracked and it makes for really lousy radio when I am stumbling over my words in big long pauses because I'm trying to read chat messages. But, you know, that's where the stuff is. I talked a lot last week about the difference between debt and deficit, and how McCarthy and Biden and, you know, their negotiation for this whole debt ceiling increase. I personally think the debt ceiling increase is bad, regardless of whatever agreements were made. The debt ceiling shouldn't have been raised at all, because our country continues to run a deficit every year, so the debt is going to keep going up every year as long as we keep running a deficit every year. I do think it's funny how both sides are claiming victory over this debt ceiling increase. So Biden had said from the beginning that he was not going to negotiate about the debt ceiling, that he wanted a clean bill that only raised the debt ceiling and did nothing else. And he refused to talk with the Speaker of the House for, I don't know, like 2 or 3 months. And then he had to talk. And they had to talk, and they negotiated, but not really President Biden. He wasn't there. His advisors, his lackeys, his whatever, were in the room, and the negotiations went on. So the conservatives on the far right are saying that McCarthy sold out and didn't get anywhere near enough. And the Democrats, especially those on the far left, are saying that Biden basically owned McCarthy in the process. And truth be told, I think it falls somewhere in the middle, because that's what compromise is. That Biden was forced to negotiate, even though he said he wouldn't. And McCarthy was forced to give up some of his demands. And we, the people, are the ones that got screwed. We got screwed because they're going to continue to spend $1 trillion or more dollars a year, more than they bring in revenue. We're going to continue to raise the national debt year after year after year. So once again, those that we elected to office, those that are supposedly there to represent us, didn't represent us. They represented their own special interest. They represented their own pocketbooks. They represented big government. The Uniparty is what the Uniparty is because, okay, they quibble around the edges over some things, but 31.9 trillion dollars in national debt as we sit here speaking right now works out to be $248,000 per taxpayer. That's crazy. And that's not even the total debt, because as long as they keep playing this game of, you know, untouchable stuff, as long as they keep saying, you know, we've got this mandatory spending, these things that you're not allowed to touch, there's no way to possibly get even close to a balanced budget. There's no way we can ever make this debt clock roll backwards as long as these things keep going. What's really funny is we keep spending and we're building, you know, this $31.9 trillion national debt, and that the interest on that debt alone is now $602 billion a year. $602 billion a year just to pay the interest on the debt. It's the fastest growing line item on our national, our books every year. Fastest growing line item in the budget. And as long as interest rates stay at, you know, what are they, 5.25% or whatever, 5.5%, that's going to continue to grow. But they're going to quibble, negotiate for a debt ceiling increase. Am I the only one that sees that entire process as stupid and anti-American and, like, you know, screwing us, the people, over, screwing over the taxpayers? It's common sense, right? If you're in your house and you have, you know, expenses that are 120% of your income year after year after year, you don't keep buying Picassos and remodeling and giving to charity. And that's what we're doing. The debt to GDP ratio, which is basically the debt to income ratio, is 120%. In 1980, it was 34%. In 2000, it was 57%. At 50%, you should start to be concerned. At 50% in your house, just look at your house for a second. Let's say that you make $100,000 a year. And you have $50,000 in debt. That should start to be concerning. And this is unsecured debt. This isn't like your mortgage. Yeah, your mortgage is debt, but you can always get out of that by selling your house. This is like $50,000 worth of credit cards. You make $100,000 a year, and you got $50,000 worth of credit cards. But now look at it, what it is today is $120,000 in credit cards. You make $100,000 a year, and you have $120,000 worth of credit card bills. And you pay, was it $60,000 a year in interest, or $6,000 a year in interest. You take this 30 whatever trillion dollars, you put it down into numbers that make sense to the average person, and the average person usually goes, oh, well, that isn't good. But our government doesn't ever do that anymore. They never look at it in terms of the average person. What is this continued out-of-control spending going to do to you and I, the taxpayer? They don't care. That's not their purpose. That's not their goal. They are there to further their party. They are there to further their lobbyists and their donors. They're not there to represent you and I anymore. We need to fix that. Patrick in Texas on line one. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. This is Federal Judge Dale in the Great American Adventure, page 97. These corporate laws and regulations are called statutes and their effect on control of human beings. It is simply obtained by consent through civil contracts. Every time you get a license or apply for or some type of permit, you're contracting with other people, and that's how they get you in their system. And that's where this is the Babylonian Talmud. It is a uniform commercial code known as the Law of Merchants, which is 6,000 years old, was derived from the ancient Babylon, is now private international law. Uniform commercial code. Human rights do not exist in fictions. And that's what they're doing. UCC that they've implemented. And like Judge Dale said, the Civil War was to turn America into a corporation. And that's where, Roger Sales, was always talking about, you know, you didn't change your status, you know, because the whole thing's a bunch of fraud to begin with, but that's what they've done. And why they've done it is because if they get you under these illegal fictions, these corporate laws and regulations are called statutes, and their effect on control of human beings is deceptively obtained by consent through civil contracts. They're getting you under a uniform commercial code, and you don't know how to deal with it because you're only used to, like, you know, is there a victim around here? You know, I want to face the person who keep my accuser. You know, you're the prosecuting attorney. Did I hurt you? No, I did not. You know, there's no physical damage.
Right.
But that's how they get you.
What do we do about it, Patrick?
What's that?
So what do we do about it? How do we get out from under this? I mean, I agree with you that all of the statutes and regulations that don't come through legislative bodies, all these regulatory agencies, they're all unlawful. Your driver's license, your registering your car, your permit for your house, all of that stuff.
Yes, FDR. He fortified that. You know, we had always under corporate law with Lincoln. It was deliberately, it was when they did it. After the 1971, corporate bylaws, you know, masquerading as the Constitution. But FDR, he created the American Administrative Authorization Act, and he had no authority to do that. But they just do it. You know, they just do it.
And the court started challenging them, and the Supreme Court struck down most of the alphabet agencies that FDR created. What'd he do? He threatened the court. He threatened to expand the court. Until the court said, all right, and then they got a little better, or a little, you know, more progressive, and they started allowing some of his stuff to stand.
Right. He threatened the court.
That's the world we live in today. What do we do about it now?
Yeah, Michael Gaddy, he addressed that, you know, it was like in the January 6ers. You know, one lady had all of her paperwork all in order, and the judge told her, he says, you could take it up on appeal. Right now, we're going to have a trial. They just run right over you, you know. And until we, you know, have a strong enough army of lawyers, like that's what the lawyers are. They're the army of the banksters, you know. And until we have a strong enough force, it's just lawfare. Because look what they done to Trump. You know, they come after him, guns. You know, lawfare with the Anthony Powell explained it, you know, how they done that. You know, they can get anybody with anything, especially if you're in the government. If you're in the government, they've already got you halfway. You're part of the federal government, and now you are under their laws, and so they got one leg up on you right there. And that's why when they got those people on January 6th, they got them into their jurisdiction up there, you know, and that's where anybody learned that you go up there, you are under an international jurisdiction, and they have their own constitution and everything. And yeah, that's he had no idea what they were doing there, but they just override it. Michael Gay said he just walked right over it. And right now, Michael Gay is kind of like he's at a loss for words. He doesn't have a solution. I don't have a solution. All I can tell people is, like, this is not good. It's not good. You know, it's a gulag. You know, and that's all I got to say. And I'll let you go with that.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Patrick.
Thank you.
If anybody has a solution to that, I'd love to hear it. I mean, clearly, it is lawfare all around us. There are, you know, what's the book, 7 a day or something like that? Like, the average American citizen commits 7 felonies a day because there's so many freaking laws that none of us even know what we're doing anymore. And, you know, like, how do we end it? How do we get rid of that? How do we make it so that we can live our lives without having our federal government down our throats every day in every aspect of our lives? I don't know the answer. I don't know of a quick answer anyway. I know an answer that'll take generations. I mean, it took generations for us to get to the mess we're in now. I think it's going to take generations to get out. But first, let me tell you about Romika Designs. Romika Designs, your place to go for custom laser engraved, laser created merchandise. It's Romika Designs.com. Romika Designs, great place to get your sweetheart, your loved one, whatever it is that you want, with a custom message on it. Get your logo put on anything. They're great at custom designs. It's RomikaDesigns.com. Romika Designs.com. And use code Lighthouse when you're there. I greatly appreciate that. And it'll save you a couple of dollars, too. Pat in Fort Worth on line three. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hi, Peter. One thing that Lynn pointed out today, I think, was that we can call Washington and talk to our reps and our senators' offices and tell them our opinion. Because I remember one time when this guy in California, got his name right a second, he wanted to make vitamins prescription. He got some, there were so many calls, he voted against it himself, his own bill.
Yeah.
It works. And a letter is worth, one of my friends who used to be in the Florida house down there, he went to our church, and he became our superintendent of schools in that county. And I asked him, I said, what impressed you when you were in Tallahassee? He said, a handwritten letter, because at that time, I was a long time ago, he said, I knew that if somebody wrote a handwritten letter, there was probably at least 100 people who thought the same thing, but who wouldn't do it. So I think it's probably up to 1,000 now. People can't even write.
Good. Well, it's good to know. I mean, the phone number to the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. is 202-224-3121. You can call that number, 202-224-3121, and they'll look up your individual, your House of Representative, and you can leave them a message that way. Or, of course, you can also get their mailing address and mail them that handwritten letter. And you can also talk to other representatives. You're not restricted to only talking to yours.
They used to be kind of tooky about that. You know, they don't. If you knew the actual number, which is easy to find out, go to their website and get it, and call one that's not yours, and say,
"Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier if you can get their direct number." There are 535 members of Congress, and I can't have 535 phone numbers on my screen, or I can't list them all out over the air. So I just give out the switchboard on air.
But twice I saw the switchboard in Washington shut down because there were so many callers.
Yeah, it happens when stuff. It does happen when something big happens and people want to call in. It can get backed up, and you'll have to call back, you know, the following day or something like that.
And what I wanted to say before you asked that question was that we owe Trump one thing, and that is that he has made the unique American flag prominent again. When O'Biden was debating or whatever, he just kept wearing black and white all the time. Sometimes they have a black and white flag with a blue stripe through the middle, which means that you support the police. But other than that, there's no reason for a black and white flag. In fact, Russia's now got red, white, and blue.
Yeah, you go back to look at the 15 rules of the U.S. flag code. The U.S. flag is never supposed to be anything other than the red, white, and blue of its design. You're never supposed to change it. You're never supposed to wear it on your clothing. You're never supposed to do a lot of the things that we've come to accept today. I mean, I'm not offended when somebody has, I mean, I own a pair of shorts that's got American flags on them, and I get compliments on them all the time, even though it's against the flag.
No, they don't get mad at that, just the burning of it, you know, but if you can burn it, you definitely ought to fly it, right? And they put that May flag in between our flags, the state of the American flag. That was wrong.
Well, burning the flag is the quickest way to get on my bad side. Pat, I'm going to have to let you go. Coming up to a break here in just a second. Thank you very much for your call, Pat. Peter, Sheldon, and JR, please hold on the line. I will get to you on the other side of this commercial break. Yeah, here we go. 3 minutes, my friends.
Part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats. And even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilaji hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilaji Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilaji as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilaji by other names, shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be.
Yeah.
Been talking to my neighbor.
Been all around me, wondering what's come to be. That's the name of the game. Welcome back to the show. I'm Peter Serapeet, your Thursday host, and this is the final segment of tonight's show. Let's go back to the phones. We got Peter in Halifax, up there in the Great White North. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hey, fellow rock, how are you?
Fabulous, how are you?
Absolutely disgustingly horrible. I live in Canada. I'm surprised you guys don't look up here more often. It blows me away. This is where so much evil descends upon you.
Oh yeah, I
should be phoning you guys, give you a half an hour every night about Canada and its roots. Like, remember all the true scum from the British Empire, when they lost America, they came here to Halifax, and it hasn't changed. We've got so much child trafficking here. We've got so much Masonic, just everywhere. Everywhere. Well,
you don't have to look for conspiracies. You don't have to look any further than your prime minister.
No, don't. He's just a puppet. Don't even think about him. He's nothing. He's got the proper bloodline. He's got a chunk of the Rothschild. He's got a chunk of Stalin. He's got a chunk of Castro. Even Trudeau. Nobody gets into power in Canada unless they're of the bloodline.
Right.
And don't think that the guys that you see getting elected are the ones that are running the show. This is the British Empire. This is the City of London. You got to remember, this is the closest port to the pit of evil. Look at a map. Look at a map. Look at the huge size, twice the size of America. Yep. Second largest country in the world. Come up here. It's a third world shithole.
Right,
sorry about the language. Please forgive me.
What's your population?
Where do you think the money from for London to destroy your country comes from?
Yeah.
It comes from Canada. We don't get it. Now, as far as these fires that are going on, I live here. Let me tell you something. I watched them fly the bloody plane over that dropped a huge smoke bomb right outside city limits. Okay, go ahead.
Did you see the satellite imagery regarding the beginning of the fires?
Don't believe anything you see.
I'm telling
you what I am here. Like,
I
right?
know, but I saw a satellite image of multiple, like, you know, here it is, you know, just a big satellite image of forest, and then a whole bunch, like, I don't know, a dozen or
small
more.
Small fires, yeah.
Small fires all start
They're starting it. But if you let me explain why and what they're doing, the reason they're starting these fires is, and fortunately God intervened, just as coincidentally, he intervened in Syria. Can you imagine how many NATO mercenaries, Syrian jihadis, mercenaries from all over the world, and IDF and CIA were crushed in that earthquake in southern Turkey? Because that's where they were all hanging out waiting to take over Damascus. Because for these people, it's all about Damascus. Now, what's happening in Canada is that they were going to start these fires so that they could put us, evacuate us. And once they have us evacuated, they either get the chip in or they get the biometrics. They get all of our information down, and then they depopulate the rural, very, very valuable countryside that everybody wants because it's Nova Scotia, and stick us in Halifax, the only large city. But once again, God intervened because they were telling you that there were massive forest fires in Nova Scotia. This is after it had been raining, pouring rain for 4 days straight. I made my living in the bush. Fires don't burn for 4 days straight underneath pouring rain in Canadian boreal forests. This was going to be the biggest scam that's ever been perpetrated because Canada is the test bed for everything. We're North America, but we're a puppet. So what works on us is going to work on you. Your enemy is not that little chunk of that little sand pit on the wrong side of the Mediterranean. The reason that Jerusalem is such a big attraction for them because they want to rebuild Solomon's temple. It's crazy Masons. They're nuts. They've been interbreeding for 400 years and it's gone to their heads. And once again, Canada has the wealth and the vantage point. And if I'll prove my point by just see how many of the movers and shakers from the CFR to the study of war and all the rest of these think tanks, find out how many of them came from McGill and other Montreal-based universities. Lots and lots. They feed them to you guys like there's a railroad, underground railroad, feeding you full of these left-wing Bolshevik.
Oh, yeah.
We're full of Ukrainians. Well, they're all Bolsheviks.
Well, you can watch Canadian policy, what we here in America call, you know, like crazy liberal leftist progressive policies.
You mean Democrat policies.
And then watch them come across the border to
the United States. It's the city of London that's your enemy.
Yeah, It happens all the time. You're absolutely right.
London. This is an annex to the City of London. And so a lot of your grief, a lot of your grief, comes from here. Because you can spot a Mexican a mile away, but a Canadian is like one of our chosen buddies. Yeah. They can fit in.
Canada should be the canary in the coal mine to the United States. Peter,
Canada should be United States. We're done.
Yeah,
Once Trump gets in, I like that even better.
I gotta let you go. But if you're serious, if you want to call back and tell me about what you know, the latest crazy leftist policy that they're pushing up there in Canada once a week, I'd love to have you come on. Like call in every Thursday and tell me what's going on in Canada. Sheldon in Washington, line 5. Welcome to the show, Sheldon.
Yeah, well, we're really lucky here. You had a gentleman a while ago. You kept asking him, what can we do about it? And in this country, what we can do individually is we still have a loophole. We can still change our status and extricate ourselves from the system. And once that's done successfully and you study the material, and you understand the biggest of pictures, then you can go out and you need to get active. Put ads in the paper, go to your school board meetings, talk to people. I love talk radio, but like you just said, talking doesn't really accomplish much. You need to put some activity behind it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm done, man. Have a good time. And up here in Washington, we're getting plenty of Canadian smoke, too. Hang my meat out there on the clothesline, and it's good to go.
Hey, I can use a couple of rings of kielbasa while you're at it, all right?
What?
I said I could use a couple of rings of kielbasa if you're smoking meats.
Oh, now I'm doing a much thinner stuff than that, something that's more palatable.
Oh, okay.
However, it would fit in an envelope a lot easier. Take care.
Sheldon, thank you very much for your call. I've got a half brother named Sheldon, but he's in Virginia, not Washington. That wasn't him. And let's see here. We got JR in Georgia on line 9. Welcome to the show, JR.
Yes, well, thanks for having me tonight, Peter. what we all got to come to grips with is this country's already done. There is no longer saving it. There is nothing to be done to save this country. It's broken. It has a cancer, a stage 4 cancer. You spoke earlier about it will take generations to repair it. You're exactly correct. But we don't have generations to wait to save this country. There was a man called John Stadtmiller, used to be on this radio some years ago.
He was the founder of this radio network.
Yes, sir, he was. He used to make a statement. Who are you going to shoot first? Who the hell are you going to shoot first? I am sick and tired of hearing the alternative right-wing media, the Glenn Becks, the Don Bonginos, the Charlie Kirks, the Steve Daces, and a number of others. Stand up. Stand up. I'm a common man. You know what I do every day? I go to work.
Yeah, me too.
That's where I stand up. I don't have time to be marching in the streets. Not to say I wouldn't, but there's not a process that allows me to demonstrate in the streets. This country has been overtaken.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean there's not a process that allows you to demonstrate? You can go out on a street corner and hold a sign. Anybody can do that.
I'm going to be somewhat nice here. I see people on the side of the interstates, on these exit and entrance ramps. Give me food. What sign am I going to carry on an interstate entrance exit ramp? It's going to make a profound difference, brother. I'm not trying to intimidate you.
I don't know. How about a sign that says, equality is American, equity is communism. Learn the difference. Short, simple, makes people think for a second.
And tell me, based on the voting record of this country, how many people on those ramps are actually going to pay attention to that one sign that I am carrying? Based on their voting record now.
Wait, there's the rub. Your one sign might inspire somebody else to hold the sign. Your one sign might not change the vote of a single person, but it might get five other people to hold signs. And maybe those five other people can change votes. I do this radio show because this is the most effective way I think that I can get out and reach as many people as I can. I've tried to do the math. I figure about 2,000 people a night are listening to me when I'm live, and then maybe another 1,000 or so after that in downloads and stuff like that. I get a lot more people hearing my message on this radio show than when I go outside holding a sign. But I've also spent my own money and bought thousands of copies of the Pocket Constitution and handed them out myself at events in my town. I went and filled a job, an empty, vacant, elected job in my town. I got myself appointed to fill one of those jobs because it was an important job that I didn't want to be vacant. There's things that we can all do. And if you will, I can't be this or that. I can't do election day workers. Our country is short. Every election day, thousands of poll workers.
You're addressing one issue I would like to address as well. This fraudulent voting system that we have in place, it was just exposed in a report that was put out yesterday of how bad the Dominion voting machines are here in the state of Georgia. You know how many local media outlets here in the state of Georgia have posted that particular report?
I'm going to guess a small number, yeah.
But
going back to my point before you change the subject, there's stuff that we can all do. Those election day jobs, those poll worker jobs, those are 2 days a year. Anybody can give up 2 days a year.
In the state of Georgia, we got 3 weeks of early voting.
Okay.
Come on, brother. Math.
Good point. You in your early voting states, I don't know how they do it. It can't be the same people there every day for 3 weeks. They can't expect somebody that with a real job to do that for every day for 3 weeks. But there's stuff that we can all do. It's going to take generations to make meaningful change to our country. It's a big ship, and it takes a long time to turn. But if we give up, it's not going to turn. We have to try.
But the point I'm trying to make is we don't have that time.
So what do you do?
We have been put in front of a nuclear weapon. You don't have 40 years.
So what do you do?
You just don't have it. What did I tell you just before, what John Statham said? I'm afraid, okay, and I'm bitter, and I'm sad that I have to go to that particular level of thought process.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand that, you know, I had no desire to ever own an AR, but I have one because I believe that could be a possibility. I've got, let's just say, lots of ammo and several weapons. I'm ready for that contingency should it comes. I've got body armor. I've got all the stuff. I don't want that contingency yet. I want to fight other ways. I want to fight through this radio channel. I want to fight by getting you to go stand on a street corner with a sign. I want to fight by getting somebody out there listening to the sound of my voice to open their eyes and go, maybe Biden isn't the best president of all time.
But that is one of the issues we face. Is that the people that we're trying to reach out to are not listeners of this particular station, of other alternate media outlets. They are listening to the corporate pharma sponsored media.
Well, I happen to know of at least a couple of people on the other side of the political aisle that listen to me because they talk to me about the show afterwards. So there are people out there that listen to it. Maybe they listen just because they want to nitpick. They want to call me a racist, but they're listening. So we gotta convince them somehow. You're not going to get them all. We don't have to get them all. We just have to get enough to regain control of our government. Because nobody has control of our government now. Nobody amongst we the people. The Democrats, you know, the by and large Democrat walking the street doesn't control our government anymore. It's the elites in the political parties. It's the uniparty leadership is controlling our government. Or the Rothschilds or whoever. It's not we the people.
And I do not disagree with your statement at all.
So we've got to wake up enough of we the people to change that. And be ready for the other alternative. But you know my Liberty Minute? My little Liberty Minute that I do, right? I'm sure you've heard those on the network, right? The little Liberty Minutes I do, like a little 60-second news headline review thing.
Yes, sir.
I end every one of those with the phrase, "Si vis pacem, para bellum," which goes all the way back to Publius, not our founding fathers Publius, but Roman general Publius. "Si vis pacem, para bellum" means if you want peace, prepare for war. That's where we are.
That's no truer statement ever made.
That's where we are. I don't want to shoot anybody, but I've got guns and ammo if I have to. I'm prepared.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for your time this evening. God bless you. And I'm sure you got another call or two left here with the 15 minutes you got left.
Well, thank you very much for your call, JR. And I hope to see you out there on the street with a sign.
Yes, sir.
Have a good night. And actually, JR is the last person on the hold. So if you got something that you'd like to say, feel free to call in 512-248-8252. Toll free at 800-313-9443. So one of the things that popped up, I want to say, well, all right. Came up about an hour ago, like during the show. Speaker McCarthy has shelved the resolution to censor Adam Schiff, which, I don't know. Without reading the article, I think, is it just playing politics? Because Adam Schiff, like, clearly lied over and over and over again. Probably should be censured. But, you know, there's a lot of politics that goes on. Maybe he's getting something for doing that. But something I really haven't seen a whole lot about that I want to know, where's all the money that's supposedly being sent to Ukraine going? There's a couple of Republicans that are trying to get better controls over the money. But we've sent, what are we up to, like $170 billion of United States taxpayer dollars to fight somebody else's civil war. And if you think, $170 billion isn't all that much, remember that every $1 billion our government spends is about $8 per taxpayer. So that $170-ish billion cost you, a taxpayer, $1,360. $1,360 for every taxpayer in the country. And we've got no accountability as to where that money's going. And it seems every time you turn around, President Biden is announcing another, we're going to send another $30 billion or another $10 billion, another $8 billion, another couple of tanks or a couple of missiles or a couple of this. And supposedly the Ukrainian counteroffensive is underway. We're not seeing that in the news either. So all of our money no accounting of it. And no accounting of whether or not it's being successful. You listen to one side, Russia's winning. You listen to the other side, Ukraine's winning. You know. I'm just, honestly, I don't care. It's a civil war. Ukraine has been Russian territory and then independent and then Russian territory and then independent so many times throughout the last couple thousand years. It's ridiculous. It's a thousand-year-long civil war. The United States should not be involved in it at all, in my personal opinion. But for those that say that, well, no, they're independent, we need to fight for their independence, then if that's the case, then we should have been all in from the get-go. This, oh, well, the United States, is going to stay there for as long as it takes is a bunch of BS. That's code for we're going to suck as much money out of taxpayers as possible to feed the military-industrial complex and line our own pockets. That's not helping the Ukrainian people or the Russian people. The longer it drags on, the more people that die. So this half-hearted, light-handed approach to support is literally killing people. I want to ask you for support for me. I want you to go to my website, liberty-lighthouse.com. And at liberty-lighthouse.com, you can read the few articles that I write every once in a great while. You can listen to this show and the Liberty Minute in podcast form. I'd appreciate it if you subscribe and download it every week. Hit the like and follow and rates and reviews and all those things help. I greatly appreciate those. And you can also hit the donate button if you happen to have money lying around that you can afford to give up. And buy something. Go to the shop. I got some pretty cool t-shirts and bumper stickers and whiskey glasses and some fun stuff. And some of the more popular, the most popular bumper sticker says working like crazy to support the lazy, for an example. So go to liberty-lighthouse.com, go to the shop, and see what you might want to buy. Pat in Fort Worth coming back. Go for it, Pat.
Hi, I have a better idea than standing there with the three line aside. If there's very much traffic, they're not going to have a chance to read it. You need several people there, and you gauge the speed they're going at. And these people stand, we used to have what they call the Burma shave signs. You know, they have one word down there, you know. And one person with a sign that said one word or sentence, one word, they can't read the whole sentence, and just keep on going. You don't want no wrecks trying to read your sign. And if you want to get people out to vote, you got to see that something is on there that's going to touch their pocketbook. I've seen mine too. In fact, over there in Florida, when I knew that there was something on there about their pocketbook, and they did too, I knew it's going to be a lot of people coming. So on the way to the polls, I put up the Burma shave signs all the way down, little one-word signs. Nobody wanted to get out and throw away unless it was about abortion. They'd probably cause a wreck to do that. But anyway, they had so many people there that she had to divide the alphabet into two letters, and she had long lines at each letter. So it's just hints on that people that really want to get out there and get something done.
Hey, I did Burma shave signs for a yard sale once. I put signs, one word signs every.
Yeah,
half
there
a block
you go.
Or something like that. And it said, we've got the stuff you need, turn here. Yeah. And it was, and I actually had people that pulled in just because of those signs and said, I don't like yard sales, but that was cute. I came in. So, yeah.
I've seen people hang over the freeway with signs, I thought, well, I don't want to cause a wreck that way by them looking up. And then if somebody, kid, comes along, he decides he wants to come out and throw a rock down, they'd probably blame you.
Right.
Just been there, done that, seen that, so I thought I'd say that.
I greatly appreciate it. Thanks, Pat.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
I think the point is that we can all do something. And I think it's starting to work. I'm looking at an article right now on, what is this, the Epoch Times. The headline is, "Conservative views among Americans are at a decade high," a poll finds. "A growing number of Americans identify as very conservative or conservative on social and economic issues, according to the latest Gallup Values and Benefits, or Values and Beliefs survey." So the survey was conducted just last month from May 1st to May 24th, and it came back with the highest number of people identifying as conservative that we've had in at least a decade. So I think we're making progress. We got to keep going. Everybody can do something. Figure out what it is that you can do. And thank you for listening. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network, stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. Thanks to our guests for joining us this evening. Thanks to Mike, my producer, couldn't do the show without you. And thank you most of all, you, the listeners, callers, and viewers, you're why we do this show. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
It's primary season again. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. Tuesday was primary day in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my home state. That really got me thinking about the entire primary process. Primaries are how two main political parties, private organizations, decide who they'll put on the ballot for the actual election. The direct primary election is unique to the United States. The current system has only been around since the 1970s, and somehow it's become taxpayer-funded. The 2016 primary elections cost taxpayers over $427 million. And to make that idea even worse, not everyone is allowed to participate in the taxpayer-funded selection process. 26 million registered voters can't vote in primaries because they're not registered to one of the two big parties and live in closed primary states. So what's the solution? Make the parties pay for their own primaries or go back to caucuses. The parties pay for the process every one of the caucus states. If you believe in limited government and you're fed up with the uniparty, visit constitutionparty.com and break out of the two-party illusion. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.